worship of tithes and offering. It is so important that we realize that we cannot be God's given no matter how you try. The more you give, the more he gives back to you. And I just believe that if you would ask God by his spirit to lead and guide you and direct you, and he leads you to Macedonia, you can go to our website and you can click on our give button and you can give by various methods. First and foremost, you can go and you can give through our Tithely app, which is a simple application that you can download and then you can give. All you have to do is look for Macedonia Baptist Church PHX, and you will see our logo, Kingdom Business, Kingdom Building, and you can give as the Spirit leads you to give. You can also give by way of Cash App. Again, we have a Cash App. You can give. All you have to do is text the $, capital M, capital B, capital C, capital A, capital Z, Macedonia, Arizona, and you can give as the Lord deems you to. And if you are local to the Phoenix area, the greater Phoenix area, I have no problem with you calling or texting, and I'll be glad to come and pick it up. Or you can look onto our website, our new address, which is P.O. Box 40693, amen, and you can give by mail. But you can't beat it if God is leading it. And so give as the God that you trust and that you believe is going to bless you because of your obedience in giving. Amen? Amen. So again, you can go right to our website and you can see all of the information and how you are able to be a blessing unto this church, because we are still about kingdom business and kingdom building. And I want to say in advance, thank you for your giving. Well, there is a word from the Lord, and it's time for the word. And we are in the first Sunday of March, and we are in 2021, the third month of 2021. And man, we have been through it. Have we not been through it? Amen. I'm going to share this timely word, especially dealing with 1 year of us dealing with the COVID pandemic. Amen. So I want to bless you with this word. And if you could turn your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 1, we want to look at verses 3 through 7. So if you could govern yourself and prepare your minds and your hearts for the word. This is first Sunday, so immediately following the word, we will have our communion service. So if you have not had an opportunity to get the cup that was delivered by myself and my wife, or if you don't have one at your disposal, you can grab something to drink and a morsel that you can take and you can join in. It doesn't matter whether you have the sacraments, long as you're doing it in honor of God. But before we go into our communion service, we want to preach God's word. So again, we're looking at 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 7. I'm going to be reading out of the New King James Version. And if you don't have it, it is up on the big screen. And so you can follow along with us as we read the word of God. Blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to receive in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. In this you are greatly rejoiced, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. That the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. May the Lord have a blessing to the reading and the hearing of his holy and inspired word. I want to tag this text before you out of 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 to 7, and tag it with losing don't make me a loser. Losing don't make me a loser. Father God, in the blessed name of Jesus our Christ, we pray now, Lord, that you would illuminate our minds and open our hearts that we might receive what the word is given to us today. Father God, all that we have been through this year and all that we have gone through in the past and even what is to come, Father God, you are revealing by your word that we have a blessed hope that all things will be well if we just continue to hold on to the master's hand. So, Father God, let this word move like it has never moved before. Let it do what it was intended to do, and that is to save a sinner, strengthen a saint, heal, deliver, and set free. Lord, that is our prayer. And Lord, if it's thy will and thy way that someone might come to you, Lord, we are going to rejoice like heaven's going to rejoice that someone came and said, I want salvation. I want to be saved. I want to be delivered. I want to be set free. Lord, let this happen on today, this time, this season, at this very moment. In Jesus' precious name, we do pray. And the saints of God said, amen. Again, we are preaching from the theme, losing doesn't make me a loser. Losing doesn't make me a loser. As I was reflecting on this word, and as I was driving to the church to broadcast this live service, I started to reflect on the fact that it has been 1 year since Macedonia has been closed due to the pandemic. And then I was also watching the news and I was listening to experts and commentary and professionals in the medical field saying how this pandemic has shut everything down across this country, and due to the pandemic that we have lost a great deal. But then I started to realize how good God really is, even in the midst of loss. I think about how God still has us here after 1 year of going through what we're going through. And though we're still not finished, beloved, God still has us here and we are meeting and we're greeting virtually. Though we can't see one another physically, God is still enabling us to be able to worship him in spirit and in truth. Yes, it's virtual, but it's still in spirit and in truth. The gospel of Jesus Christ has miraculous power. But it's not just for sinners. In fact, beloved, more so for the saints because of this progressive power. You're going to get this later on because I feel my spirit preaching now, because I want you to realize that when you come to Jesus, salvation is the free gift of what Jesus did on Calvary's cross. But it don't end right there. And it is a gift that just keeps on giving, because when you become a saint of God, when you become the children of Christ and you do the things of his will and his way, what happens is that this miraculous power starts to progress in one's life, and your spirit starts to get full, and the anointing starts to take place. And when it does, you can walk with joy, and you can have peace in the valley, and you can be blessed with the assurance that God is still able. Being open to the ideal of being born again, which comes with abiding in the way and the truth. You got to do it with confidence in the power of the Holy Spirit. You can't have one without the other. You can't have his way. You can't have his truth if you don't abide by and in the Holy Spirit. And I don't know about you, but I am a reliable witness that trying God's word is beneficial to moving forward and beginning again. God is and forever faithful. And we, as born-again believers, are called into his service to serve faithfully with his son Jesus. I wanted to tag that and say that when God does what he does, and when God has done what he has done on Calvary's cross, and we accept that, it is our obligation to start living the life by moving forward in spite of all the nonsense that we see, despite all the distractions, despite the pandemic, despite the indifference that we see with social injustice. We got to keep moving forward, because God is getting ready to do something all over again. Therefore, it is our reasonable service as members of the church to serve God by preparing our minds for action and being sober-minded and set our hopes fully on the grace that will be brought to us at the revelation of Jesus Christ. I know I'm right about it, because Paul, the apostle, simply lays it out this way. If you want the power of the resurrection, which my hope is that we all desperately need, we got to be well acquainted with the cross and the tomb. Why is that so important, Pastor? Because no crucifixion, there can be no resurrection. And Jesus didn't hide it, and he did not minimize the cost. Jesus knew what he was about to do over 2,000 years ago. Jesus knew who was going to be the naysayers. He knew who was going to be the hecklers. He knew who was going to be the villains in trying to cast doubt and cast him being some kind of false prophet. But Jesus knew what the cost was going to be. And beloved, we got to know what the cost is also. We continue to have hope in our Lord and Savior, even though we cannot touch the flesh that covers his body. And when he was born into the world and walked amongst us, I wasn't there, But I can believe by his word that he did exactly what he said he was going to do. And though I might not be there in the flesh, I'm there in the spirit. We are to continue fighting a battle to maintain reason in this chaotic world. We cannot lose focus, beloved, because there is some good news. Every moment of every day, we have an opportunity to find our way back to the truth by moving forward. And I told a lot of folks that I have an encounter that I don't look back on my past as a nightmare, but as a memory of where I never want to go back to. But I got to move forward. I got to have a prize that I can achieve. And that prize is my spiritual growth in Jesus the Christ. And many of us have started this year worse off than we started last year. We still dealing with lost jobs, and we still dealing with lost income, lost health, and lost of friends and loved ones. But I'm here to let you know that loss isn't bad. It ain't the worst case scenario. Failure should not define you. It's a reset of our focus and rearranges our priorities. It's simply laid out in Philippians 4:8, where it says that first we got to renew our minds. Why? By fixing our thoughts on what is truth. And we can do it honorably and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Hope from God and in God is a powerful antidote for bad beginnings. Why do I say that? Because those that are born blind finds hope in their senses of smell and other feelings. Those who are lost a limb find hope in medical and technology breakthroughs. Sometimes suffering is a good for the many reasons, because whose will it is. It is the good that fruit brings, and the lessons bad experiences teaches. Many people will die spiritually because of their lack of knowledge. As a mature child of the King, we understand that knowledge is the Lord of power. And when we consolidate it with hope, we use it to stay optimistic about the future. I'm so glad that I got a vaccine appointment. I'm so glad that my wife is taken care of. I'm so glad that my children are good. I'm even better because my grandchildren are good. I'm so happy that we still have a church home. I'm so glad I got committed members. But it don't mean nothing if I don't stay optimistic of what God can do. He has the future all in his hands, and that future lets me know that I can love people better. I can like things a little less, and living for God is all I need. I'm so glad that in this text it tells me in verses 6 and 7 of 1 Peter that Paul is saying that the things that he lost were nothing because of what he was enabled to achieve in Christ. Aren't you glad that you might not have all the things that you wanted to have, go all the places that you used to go, do all the things that you used to do, but you still got God, you still got Christ. That means that you still have hope, and you still have faith, and you still have peace, because God is the one who's doing it all. He is the author and finisher of all faith. He is the beginning and the end. He is the wheel in the middle of the wheel. He is my rose of Sharon. He is my all in all. I have my own saying, but I'll do it at the end. But I need somebody to know that this is my story. This is my song. I lost a lot, but I gained so much in Christ. Sweet memories and even some regrets. Lessons learned and the highs and the lows. And now I love more. And now I serve with purpose. I laugh harder. And I live just a little bit better. At the end of last year, my worship started, but my praise continued in 2021. My praise is for real, and my worship is contagious. I'm so glad that I replaced my memories for expectations, my regrets for requests, my lessons learned to lessons earned, my highs and lows to my ebbs and flows. My worship is for real, and my praise is contagious. None of us have arrived. We all need to keep pushing forward. We are not yet complete, and we haven't fully matured, but we have a long way to go. But aren't you glad that on that peaceful journey, on that journey, that God is still with you? He's still walking with you. He's still talking with you. He's still letting you know that he is your own. I'm so glad that we don't have to quit. I'm so glad that we don't have to lose sight, because losing don't make me a loser. I'm so glad that even though I didn't win certain races, I still competed and I still achieved, because I finished my race. And I'm so glad that Jesus said that if I continue on life's journey, and if I allow him to guide, lead, and direct me, I will finish my race. I will achieve the prize on the Most High. I want to hear him say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. But it takes some effort while I'm here. I'm going to go through some trials. I'm going to go through some tribulations. I'm going to have some losses, but I'm going to get some gain, because what I gain in Christ is all I need, because he's able. My God is able. He's able to deliver. He's able to set free. I know he's all right. He's all right. He's all right. He's all right. The doors of the church are open. Losing, beloved, don't make you or I a loser. It just tells us that if we are still here today, that God still has something bigger and better for us. You might lose possessions. You might lose income. You might even lose heart. But I'm here to tell you, why don't you go to the one who has the ability to fill your cup? I love that song that we used to sing back in the day. It said, fill my cup that it would overflow. I want God to fill your cup that it overflows. That even though you might have lost in this or that, God is still in the victorious business. And victory is ours, says the Lord. Why? Because he came down through 42 generations. He walked the dusty streets of Jerusalem and Judea. He healed the sick and he raised the dead. He even fed 5,000 with a value meal. He did all of that, even though people in the background was talking about him. People were lying on him. And people were literally out to get him. But he already knew that. Because he was telling his disciples and he's telling us that losing don't make you a loser. So when they did what they did in reference to going to the Garden of Gethsemane and they went to arrest him, everybody who was Christ's followers thought they lost. Even Peter was so upset of losing, he cut off one of the soldiers' ears. Jesus said, I don't need all of that. He even healed and put the ear back on and healed that soldier. Even though they were coming to get him. And yet, he let them take him. They didn't take him. He let them take him. And they took him from courtroom to courtroom. They couldn't find any charges against them, so they had to come up with something that was falsified just so they can prove their point. And when they did so, check it out. When they did it, he didn't say a mumbling word. They said, you're a loser. He said, but I ain't losing. They marched him up Golgotha's hill. They stretched him on an old rugged cross. And they nailed his hands and they nailed his feet. And to even mock him even further, they crowned him with a crown of thorns. Hung a sign saying, King of the Jews. And yet, Jesus didn't say nothing. Even though they said, loser, loser, he said, but I ain't losing. He died on that cross on that fateful Friday from the 6th to the 9th hour. They took him down and talk about they won. And they didn't realize that Satan himself, who knows the word, said, do you know what you just did? In the Bible that you didn't read, but I read, as Satan himself said that if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Losing don't make you a loser. They took him to a borrowed tomb. They didn't take him to his tomb where he would be permanently at rest. They took him to a borrowed tomb. They didn't know what they were doing, but Jesus knew what he was doing because he said, losing don't make me a loser. He was there Friday night. He was there Saturday and Saturday evening. But early Sunday morning, he got up with victory in his hands because it says that all power was in his hands. And he let the world know. And he's letting us know today that losing don't make you a loser. Sometimes losing makes you victorious because now you don't have to stay where you was. You don't have to stay in the shape that you're in because the potter wants to make you better again. And all you got to do is come to Jesus. So if you don't know Jesus in the pardon of your sins, you want to accept him as your Lord and Savior, I would ask that you would just pray the prayer of salvation. Simple prayer. Don't have to get all fancy. All you got to do is say, Lord Jesus, I need you.